With Multiview from Xfinity, you can watch up to 4 football games at once, which can lead to some tough choices.
French toast nibblers or breakfast nachos?
Actually, I was thinking about heading out only because I want to beat the traffic.
The best part of the sleepover is the next day. I was going to throw the games on.
Bobby Big Wheels.
I mean, how can you call yourself a sports fan without Xfinity? We got the Multiview.
The best college and pro games all in one place.
I'm not going anywhere.
This is how football was meant to be watched. Xfinity. Imagine that. Restrictions apply. Multiview requires Xfinity 4K capable TV box.
Boys, this game is huge, especially after what just happened in Florida and all the momentum that LSU has opening up conference play. This one can make a huge difference when it comes down to the end of it, Cone. What is up, everybody? Thanks for hopping in. Got a great preview and prediction with a best bet today for a matchup that was going to be huge regardless of what happened in week two. But after what happened to Florida, losing at home to South Florida, with Billy Napier setting up for the rest of this brutal schedule, it's just become even bigger. And we're talking conference play. Florida on the road, going to Death Valley to play LSU, guys, in a mega matchup, in a weekend full of mega matchups. I mean, this is the chocolate factory for fat people of college football. Just walk in. The schnozberries taste like schnozberries. There's chocolate rivers. It's just an outstanding situation. Make sure you hit that subscribe button. Again, in the comments, we're going to pin this as well. Give us the score. Your prediction already. I know it's on Sunday. We got a whole week. We do not care. As usual, David Cohn, former Michigan quarterback, joining me. Blaine Crane, former Western State Colorado wide receiver as well. Guys, we're now into the conference race. There's still some non-cons left. We know there's some at the end of the year. But now we're starting to enter conference play where you're going to separate the men from the boys. And Blaine, I'm going to start with you.
Ooh.
This game is massive either way. What is the line that you have right now as we sit here? Because I'm going to give you mine that I'm looking at from probably a different book that's going to be a little surprising.
All right. The line that I'm looking at is from FanDuel Sportsbook. And right now it's -9.5 LSU money, laying LSU at -114. The over under at 51.5. Florida money line in this game is +250.
Guys, I'm looking at on ESPN Bet right now. They've got the over under at 54.5, not 51.5. And they've got LSU -6.5.
That's what I saw too.
Not the 9.5. So it's a little bit all over the place. Can get some good value here. David, I want to start with you. If you're Florida offensively, going on the road to play what looks like the best LSU defense that they've had in a while in a game they're going to be juiced up for, sitting at 2-0 with that huge win on the road at Clemson, talking about LSU. You know, what about this game plan? Are you going about differently to maybe hit on some of these explosives?
Well, it's tough because you actually ran the football against South Florida, right? Like, it was DJ Lagway who got outperformed by Byron Brown. That's the part that was confusing about the loss to South Florida. But on the LSU side, it was sort of the trifecta of negativity yesterday. You didn't play great coming off the Clemson win. Two, Clemson looked terrible against Troy. And three, worst of all, your opponent for this week, Florida, actually lost their game to South Florida. You'd love to figure out a way for Florida to win that game at the end, because I think you're going to be in a situation where Florida is going to be all focused coming into this. But hey, that's the SEC. I can't wait for this football game. And look, I don't know how, based off what we saw with Florida yesterday, how you don't take LSU to win the game. Now, if these spreads keep bouncing around, look, if you want to try and lock in LSU under the hook on a touchdown, might as well get it now, because I know it's bouncing back and forth here between the 6.5 and all the way up to almost 10 in some places.
Blaine, with what we've seen, and look, we talked about Florida's defense against South Florida, and, you know, again, giving up the short throws that you know you're going to get from Byron Brown, and obviously the big touchdown play. I don't know how right now, if I can get this under at 54.5, I don't pound it. With what I've seen with both of these defenses, not that the offenses, you know, aren't explosive, but LSU seems pretty methodical in what they want to do. You just feel like the under's a really good play early here. Am I crazy?
Yeah, if you can get it at 54.5, but God, if there's ever a time to lock in, fellas. I mean, Billy Napier, DJ Lagway, going into Death Valley versus Brian Kelly and Garrett Nussmeier, maybe the dream team for LSU. God, I love college football. God, I love it. It's just
Billy.
It's undefeated. And I will say this to LSU. Look, I know Florida just lost, but this game comes a hell of a lot more scarier now since they did. Because if you're Florida, you got nothing to lose.
Yeah.
You have nothing to lose walking into this football game. You should be gas pedal to the floor screaming America early. And the first thing I'm going to look at is Florida is the most Plaxico Burress team I have ever seen. They're going to shoot themselves in the foot. They did the same thing versus South Florida. If you're going to beat LSU, you need to be clean from a turnover standpoint, and you need to be clean from a penalty standpoint. And just like it comes down, I know this isn't just the toughest analysis to come up with, right? LSU's at their best when they can run the football. Florida's at their best when they can run the football. Which front seven on the other side is going to stymie the other and turn them into one-dimensional team? If that can happen, things can get interesting really quick.
Well, David, you got two really good backs in this game. Mm-hmm. I mean, Jaden Baugh, Caden Durham. Everybody's going to talk about the quarterback matchup, and I get it. But I want to see, to Blaine's point, not only which front seven is going to show up on defense, but which offensive line is going to show up and be able to set the terms to open it up for their quarterback. I know DJ Lagway can run it. I don't really think he wants to. I think he wants to beat you from the pocket. And to your point about, you know, Florida becoming scarier because they lost, they're going to try and make up for it. What's a great way to make up for it? Well, you go into conference play and beat the number three team in the country. At least that's what they're ranked right now on the road. That'd be huge, and that would change some hearts. But again, the more I look at it, LSU's a more disciplined team.
Here's the thing. Whether you're a gym newbie or a seasoned athlete, doing the same workouts over and over again will eventually kill your motivation. Yep. Plus, your body stops responding when it gets too comfortable. That's why FitBod creates workouts that actually change with you, like Blaine's hair. As you get stronger, your routine evolves too, so you never get stuck in that dreaded plateau or find yourself scrolling through your phone between sets out of pure boredom. I mean, we used FitBod to get in shape for the movie that we were in. That's why we looked and continue to look jacked and tan. I mean, proof's in the pudding. The best part, FitBod actually gets to know you. It builds workouts around your specific goals, fitness level, and whatever equipment you have access to, whether that's a full gym or just some dumbbells at home. Plus, the app tracks your muscle recovery, so you're not accidentally overworking the same areas day after day. Everything is designed by a certified personal trainer, so you're getting real expertise without the price tag. So level up your workout. Join FitBod today to get your personalized workout plan. Get 25% off your subscription or try the app free for 7 days at fitbod.me/booster. That's FITBOD.ME/booster. Get in shape. Don't just be round.
They're just a more disciplined team. Sure. That's the biggest difference, I think, in LSU right now defensively. Yeah, they may have some better personnel overall. I don't think they've had bad personnel in aggregate, but they play smart. They play physical. They play aggressive, but not being over-emotional. So, David, let me throw this scenario out there. Let's say both front seven stop the run, mm-hmm. and both teams become one-dimensional. Who do you trust more with what they have around them? Do you just go with the older guy in Nuss because he's at home and because we've seen him, you know, have to operate without a run game for honestly most of his career?
Well, not just for those reasons, but yeah, I mean, I watched a Florida team that couldn't even pull it out yesterday against South Florida when they needed DJ Lagway to do it. But despite the high profile nature of both quarterbacks here, DJ Lagway and Garrett Nussmeier, I do think we're going to get a flavor of ice cream where the defenses set the tone in this, much like LSU Clemson, similar to Buckeyes Texas. That's why I think the under is a great play here. And if you're LSU, you had Florida later in the season last year, and Florida pulls off that win because their back's against the wall. The last thing you wanted to do was have Florida with their back against the wall already in week three, because it's tough enough to beat Florida any year. They're going to have great football players running around on the field, but now you're going to face them with their back against the wall. But I'll tell you what Blake Baker does on defense, and I went back and looked at some of the looks that he was giving Cade Klubnik. There's a reason that an experienced quarterback in Klubnik looked like a deer in headlights, just with all of the different movement post-snap that he was getting. If LSU can confuse DJ Lagway and hold up well against the run, I think that's going to give LSU the best chance to win the football game and allow Garrett Nussmeier multiple opportunities to lead his team down the field on long drives.
Blaine, I think Lagway turns the ball over at least twice in this game.
Really?
It just feels like it to me. Because, again, you can bring up, well, Florida, now they're even more dangerous than the other. Man, I don't know. I feel like LSU really knows who they are. Like this LSU, I know it wasn't great against La Tech, kind of coming off that big win against Clemson. But I don't think there was ever any panic with LSU. It feels like maybe Florida is going to try and make up for it so much that DJ Lagway takes some chances early. And if I'm Blake Baker, I'm just going to set the trap. I don't need to go out here and pressure you like crazy all the time. I'm going to make you operate maybe even underneath two safeties if we're able to stop the run and be adequate with an even box. So I this just feels like a game where Lagway maybe makes a couple of big plays but makes a couple of big mistakes in a place. I mean, this game's at 6:30. Okay, this is going to be at night. They're going to be liquored up. They're going to be undefeated. They're going to be ranked top five. I can tell you from personal experience, that's going to be like walking into Mordor, brother, for DJ Lagway. I think a defensive touchdown for LSU as well. It just feels that way to me.
So, I mean, 6:30 at Death Valley is almost just a death sentence.
You might as well play at midnight.
If you got – my thing is, like, you got 11 penalties versus South Florida at home.
Yeah.
Okay? Yeah. You're going on the road to Death Valley, one of, if not, the toughest place to play in the country. I don't think the penalties – it's not going to get better from here. But the big game I'm interested in looking at within the big game, what David brought up, is this linebacking core for LSU, the Weeks brother, Harold Perkins, and the game versus DJ Lagway. The game inside the game, the chess match that Blake Baker is going to play, because Blake Baker is one of the best in the country of showing you one thing and then it being the complete opposite. And I thought three linebackers, because this defense for LSU is not only talented, they're high-Q football individuals, right? And you can see that throughout a football game. So the linebacking core versus DJ Lagway, that's what I'm excited to play, the chess match that's going to happen for Florida.
Blaine, I don't hate what Florida has in the middle of the run game. Like, to me, with the Weeks brothers, you got to run it right at them. Like, you can't – I don't think you get into this sideline-to-sideline game. Now, again, you have to work the flats. I'm not saying you never do it. But I do think Florida, especially to maybe protect DJ early and set up the play action and maybe some shots in the seam at a heavier personnel, I think you line up and I like your gap scheme, your offensive line versus this linebacker core. That's what I would do, at least test it out early with a back like Jaden Baugh that can put his head down and maybe limit possessions.
If I'm Florida, like how many times can I get into second and five and third and two and just stay on schedule and leave the litany of play calling open for Billy Napier and DJ Lagway? They don't need to get in the business of getting behind the chains, whether that's first and 15 or second and eight or third and seven plus. That's when you get in dangerous territory. So if I'm Florida, you have to stay on schedule in this game.
You know, here's one exciting thing for LSU fans. After this week, we're going to know whether or not you're for real, because even after the win against Clemson and the way Clemson followed up in week two, maybe Clemson's just not as good as we thought and you beat a mediocre football team. I don't think that's the case, but it could be true. Mm-hmm. This week, you are going to get the best version of Florida. Whoever Florida really is, that's who you're going to get. Other SEC teams later in the season may not get that, because if there are three or four conference losses, maybe the team quits, maybe they move on from Billy Napier midseason, but not this week, because they're still with their backs against the wall, an opportunity to respond at a place like Death Valley and to beat LSU and notch a very impressive win. So if LSU is able to take care of Florida with their backs against the wall, when you're going to get the most impressive version of them, I think that's going to tell us a lot about this LSU team. And thank God you get them at home, man. Because if this were the other way around, if this game were in the swamp, would you guys consider taking Florida this week?
No.
Every day at Sierra, you'll find top brand apparel, footwear, and gear for 20 to 60% less than department and specialty store prices. And during clearance time at Sierra, those incredible prices are 40 divided by 2.5, carry the one, even lower. And when you shop clearance at Sierra, you can save a whole lot more on everything you need to get active and outside. That's a lot of saving. Epic brands, vast selection, teeny tiny prices. That's Sierra. Visit your local Sierra store today or shop online at sierra.com.
I would still probably take LSU. I would probably it would probably be 3.5, and I would buy it down to 2.5 because I hate the 3.5 number when I'm taking the favorite. But now again, why would I trust Florida over LSU? Seeing what we've seen this past week, I mean, Long Island, you can say what you want, but again, it's those self-inflicted wounds, the Plaxico Burress effect that Blaine's talking about. But guys, I'm going to go ahead and get into to predictions here. I think the best bet right now, like I said, is the under at 54.5. If you could get it, I don't mind it at 52.5, 51.5. I'm not touching it yet. Going to see if that thing goes back up. But look, I do like LSU at 6.5. I think they're a touchdown better than Florida just because of mistakes. Like I said, I think there's going to be a defensive or special teams touchdown in this game. I like LSU, and that would push Florida to 1-2, and that would be it would be a little bit of a panic button. I think you'd see even more out of Gainesville.
Yeah, well, I'll take LSU 21-17. I like the under as well. I if you can get that 9.5 with Florida, please jump all over it. Maybe even the 6.5, man. I refuse to believe that this Florida team is going to quit, that they're not going to fight. And again, if LSU moves forward and wins by 2 touchdowns, I think that's going to tell us a lot about who these teams really are. You know, not LSU playing La Tech the week after coming off this really high of a win. We're going to find out a lot more about what's the true identity of both of these teams.
Blaine, I've got LSU 27-20.
Okay, you have 27-20. I mean, if you can get the over-under at 54.5, I don't know how you don't bet the under in this game. So if you can get that, I think that is the best bet. But I would take Florida to cover the 7.5. I'd buy this up a point and get Florida plus 7.5. I think Florida is going to come ready to play in this game after what happened against South Florida. Give me LSU 24, Florida 17.
Fellas, we have another huge matchup in the Southeastern Conference. A game where, look, there's not a lot of love lost in this one. All right, anytime they play, I don't care where it is. And the stakes this year are really, really high. Obviously, having the game where it falls on the schedule, and that is Georgia going to Knoxville, going to Rocky Top. Both teams undefeated to take on Joey Aguilar, Josh Heupel, and the Tennessee Volunteers. And fellas, Blaine, I want you to give us the lines. I want to see if it's close to the one I have pulled up real quick. But I've got a feel in this game, and I want to get into it. But first, Blaine, get to the lines. What are you seeing?
So right now I'm seeing, and I'm on FanDuel Sportsbook, I got Georgia -6.5. That's going off at -110. Over-under at 50.5. Yep. That's sitting even money right now. Tennessee money line's going off at +190.
All right, so look, I'm looking at ESPN Bet Sportsbook. They got Georgia -7. The money's on Georgia. That's -115 as opposed to the -105 on the +7. And then I've got the over-under 50.5 too, Blaine. So they're about the same, a little bit different than in our Florida LSU preview between ESPN Bet and FanDuel. I think the biggest matchup, and I know a lot of people are going to be talking about this all week. I want to go ahead and say it. Do you trust Tennessee's defensive line? Mm-hmm. Do you trust their defensive line against Georgia? I know it didn't look great against Austin Peay. I know that Georgia hasn't played anybody worth their salt. But I do know the way I saw Syracuse look against Connecticut. And thank God Syracuse came back and won, because that hit me a $600 parlay thanks to Fran Brown and company. But they didn't look great. And when I look at this Tennessee team, I think Joey Aguilar has done everything they needed him to do. I don't think he's taken too many chances. He's already got 5 touchdowns. He's 39 of 59 overall for 535 yards. The run game's been pretty good. But at the end of the day, this Georgia run game versus this Tennessee defensive line that was already we had questions about, and the injury bug kind of hit him against Syracuse. David, I'm going to start with you. I'm going to go ahead and tell you I like Georgia in this one. Mm. I picked Georgia to win this game earlier in the season. I think some people will be like, oh, well, they only beat Austin Peay by this amount. That's what Georgia does. I've watched them do it for years. I've watched them not cover against G5 competition and then go play amazing against somebody that's talented. But I do think Georgia can line up in heavier personnels and use Gunnar Stockton in the quarterback design run game to really get it whenever they want it on the ground until Tennessee can prove to me that they can stop it. I think it's a big mismatch. I mean, the matchup predictor's got Tennessee, I'm looking at it right now, with a 51.5% chance to win, yet Georgia's favored by 7. I like the Bulldogs in the trenches in this one, D.
How great is it that we get this as a top 25 matchup? And hey, if you're Tennessee, Why not now? You get him in Nealon against a young quarterback who doesn't have a ton of starts under his belt in Gunnar Stockton. Joey Aguilar looks like he's fitting in well, throwing the football well. Why not now? You know, one thing that I'm a little bit worried about for Tennessee, with this up-tempo nature that they like to play on offense, what's one thing that counters that well? It's depth. And Georgia has the best depth in the country. This is really the distinction between what Kirby Smart has done at Georgia versus what Mark Richt did at Georgia, right? The first 22 with Mark Richt were all world beaters too. But with Kirby Smart, it's that first 44 and really the entire roster of depth that he's been able to stack. That's one thing that makes me a little bit worried for Tennessee. But hey, why not now? In Nealon, that place is going to be rocking, shock the world.
Blaine. I want your thoughts on the biggest advantage you see in this game. But on the other side, talking about can Tennessee stop the run, can Tennessee run the ball? Can Star Thomas and Deshaun Bishop and Peyton Lewis, because I think this is a game where you got to throw them at waves against Georgia in this defense because of that depth cone. But if you're going to go fast too, you talk about depth on Georgia's side defensively. What about the depth on Tennessee side defensively? That's why I keep going back to this defensive line. If I'm Josh Heupel, you know, you got to go out there and be yourself from a tempo standpoint. But I'm also looking and saying, man, if we start going fast and it's not working, do I have the depth on the defensive line to not eventually succumb to gravity halfway through the second quarter or halfway through the third quarter or whatever?
Yeah, I know. I just love this matchup. There's something about Gunnar Stockton, the good old boy, going to play Joey Aguilar, the new cook in the kitchen.
It's a Kenny Chesney song.
And the new cook in the kitchen, and trust me, the food tastes great. I think right now, I mean, you're in a hell of a lot better chance of having Joey Aguilar at quarterback than Nico.
For sure.
Right? So I'm going to go ahead and say that right now. I will say this, okay? You can say what you want about Georgia and what they played Austin Peay. If you've watched Georgia play, they're the real deal. All right? They're the real deal, especially on the defense. They're too deep. It's absolutely insane. But the big thing to me, one, Josh Heupel, as many lights – and candy, eye candy that you see from Josh. Josh wants to run the football. All right, Josh wants to turn around and run the football. That's how they get their drives going. So I think one huge thing for Tennessee already is staying on schedule, second and fives, third and two. And you know how many turnovers Joey Aguilar has right now?
Zeros.
Zero. Right, and that was his big knock. Big knock of where he came from. So if you're Tennessee – if you're going to have a chance in this game, you have to stay clean from the turnover and penalty standpoint, and you have to hit big plays versus Georgia. You have to hit those posts over the top, the dig with the posts under it. You have to break tackles in space. You're not going to be able to nickel and dime your way past this Georgia defense and put up the points you want to. So if it's Tennessee, you need explosives.
Yeah.
Right? Go ahead.
Well, Blaine, I'm going to say to me, it's obviously you want to complete all of them, but it's just the threat of it.
Sure.
Even if you don't complete it, you can't. I feel like it's almost, and I'm learning this raising a child. Sometimes if you say no, you cannot do this to certain things, it makes them want to do it more.
Today's episode is brought to you by our friends at Prize Picks.
Yeah.
You and I make decisions every day, but on Prize Picks, being right can get you paid,
yes,
son.
Sir.
Don't miss any of the excitement on this season on Prize Picks, where it's good, great to be right. We've used Prize Picks forever. We're super excited they've hopped on as a sponsor of the show. We're going to be putting out our Prize Picks for anything that's going on, and they make daily fantasy simple. Just select more or less on 2 to 6 player projections to build your lineup, and when your picks hit, you have the opportunity to win up to 2,000 times your money. Available in over 40 states, Prize Picks puts members first with fast, secure withdrawals through Venmo. You can trust them, Apple Pay, and MasterCard. Their innovative Flex Play even lets you cash out and double your money if one pick doesn't hit perfectly. So turn your sports knowledge into real money, or manyan, as some call it, in under 60 seconds on Prize Picks, trusted skill-based fantasy platform that millions of users already rely on to add to the excitement of the season. Again, we're going to be sharing ours. So download the app today, use code Booster, and get $50 in lineups after you play your first $5. That's code Booster to get $50 in lineups after you play your first $5 lineup. Prize Picks, it's good to be right.
So like with Joey Aguilar, he's not turned the ball over yet, but you can't just protect him not to turn the ball over against Georgia. You can't just say, no, Joey, nothing past 15 yards. No, Joey, don't keep this and throw the ball. You kind of got to let him be himself to a certain extent just to get it out. Hey, if we get one-on-one in this 3-by-1 on the solo side, we're running the vert. let that son of a bitch ride. Like, sometimes you got to let him do it, because if you don't, then it's going to turn into an emo song with him back there. He's coming out of his cage.
Yeah.
You know, trying to force that. So it's that balance to me, the threat, which then at least lets Georgia know, hey, we're willing to rip the top off this bad boy at any time. So you better not, because Georgia will creep. They will creep down the whole, if they smell a rat and they smell you're afraid to take a chance, they will suffocate you literally throughout, like an anaconda, just slowly squeezing you throughout the game until you pop. So to me, that's a big point.
Yeah, I actually think that's what Tennessee should try and do on their defensive side. I think Tennessee on defense needs to approach this game a lot the way that Oklahoma approached the game plan playing Michigan. Hey, let's stack the box. Let's dedicate as many resources as possible to stopping the run. And let's just find out if Gunnar Stockton can beat us. And if he looks like in the first half that he can beat us and he has a lot of success through the air, or he's having success on zone read, then maybe we can switch things up. Right, and you always have to be dynamic and you pre and post snap reads and all that kind of stuff. But if I was Tennessee on defense, that's a game plan that I would come in to give Joey Aguilar on offense as many opportunities as possible, because you're going to need multiple cracks at the apple against a Georgia defense.
See, and that's the game you play, right? And against a Georgia team last year, you know what? I'd have been fine with it. But now Georgia has the personnel and the good enough skill positions to where if you will stack the box and you want to go man on a man on the outside, Zachariah Branch can take an out 70 yards. Colby Young is your one-on-one deep threat. It's an absolute problem. Oscar Delp at tight end can be the difference. So obviously it's a rob Peter to pay Paul situation, but how much are we robbing them for, you know, at the end of the day? Because those skill positions at Georgia, they're not the same they were last year. They have elite.
But it's kind of like Miami against Notre Dame a little bit. You know, like Notre Dame had all the same things that you're talking about, but you had a young quarterback in CJ Carr who still has to facilitate those. And I still don't think Notre Dame lost the game because of him. He did some good things. Actually, I don't know what their offensive game plan really was. But still, you have to at least try something. And you might as well point out what you think could be the weakest link and at least poke on it to see if you're right.
Yeah, well, look, again, if I'm getting to Blaine's point, though, if I'm Tennessee, yeah, Gunnar Stockton has to beat me through the air. Yeah. But the question, because that's a lot easier if Georgia's running out there in 11 personnel, right? Mm-hmm. And you're not worried about Delp too much taking you off the seam. You know, if they're going to live in 12 and 11, that's great. The question becomes, if they go 10 and they turn this into a zone read RPO situation, now we'll see what Bobo, I know he's going to try and do. They're going to try and line up and run the ball. They're going to test you early on the ground game. But again, if you're Tennessee, if I'm going to pick a way to die in this one, it's because Gunnar Stockton was just too damn good with ball placement for the whole game. But then again, you know, what does that mean on 3rd and 6, right? Because we know what you're going to do on 3rd and 12. We know what you're going to do on 3rd and 1. But, like, this is, like, the 3rd and 6 game, and they're in 11, but Delp's flex Y, and it's Trey open, right? What are you calling then? Are you heating them up? Are you rushing 4? Are you rushing 3 and dropping one off as a spy or in some sort of fire zone or whatever? That, to me, is the game if you're Tennessee to be able to get possessions. We're going to learn so much, I think, about Tennessee's front 7 on defense. Because, again, I think it would be nuts if Georgia came out and said, no, we're just going to spit it around before they see Tennessee loading up a box to where you can throw the bubble, to where you do get Zachariah Branch in a great situation against man free or against zero with a pressure. So the 3rd and 6 chess match, David, is the one I want to see. Mm.
If you don't know what Trey open is, that's tight ends open for all.
Well, yeah.
He's wide open to catch the touchdowns.
Well, to me, what I call Trey is there's a tight end. It's trips with a tight end extended, right? Where the tight end is either soloed up on the one side or he's number 3 with the solo wide receiver. He's not attached. If it was closed on the back end, like where the solo was attached and it was a tight end, then it would be Trey closed. I just call it Trey open because if I say trips open, that's what we call 10 personnel. So
well, here's the real question. Which one of you boys is going to take Tennessee?
Not me.
To win?
Yeah, to win.
No, I got Georgia
in Neyland. orange and white. They're going to be singing. I will say this:
like you're going into one of the best environments in college football.
No, look, this has nothing to do with the Vol Navy or
and not. They hate each other. Both these programs hate each other.
Yeah, I'm just trying to find a best bet in this one. Like I almost feel like I need to wait till the TTPs come out because I can't see them yet. But I mean, my gut would say 50.5. I would see if the number would go up. If it got up to 52.5, I'd take the under. Gun to my head, I'd take Georgia minus.
Well,
65.
It's just like how much do both these quarterbacks' feet matter in this game? Because both of them can, if they have to, can tuck it and run it.
They can run it. It's just like I think you'd see a lot more design quarterback run with Gunnar Stockton.
That's Jones how important the run game is for Georgia. Not only design quarterback runs, but the play action game. Right?
It's Mike Bobo. They're gonna play
action. Yeah, like the play action game. You obviously have to establish the run, but Gunner's been known, right, third and whatever, to make a couple guys getting that old good boy shake. Right, yeah. And get out and go get a first
Mike
down.
Mitchell.
Joey Aguilar is going to have to do the same thing, in my opinion.
No, Joey's going to have to look. You're going to have to make a couple of those improvised plays against Georgia. You always have to. Like it's never. I can go ahead and tell you, against a Kirby Smart coach Georgia team, it's never going to always go according to plan.
Yeah.
Against their defense, like very rarely, it's like, oh, well, that worked, and then we want to do that, and then that worked, and it just
we scripted the whole game plan. We just scripted every play.
That's why I never understand. You also just script the whole game. You talk about, man, that first drive, we were on script. I'm like, great, script the whole game then. I don't know how y'all guess what's going to happen so well.
All right, so y'all are both taking Georgia then.
I'm taking – give me Georgia. Give me Georgia. Give me Georgia
30-23. Wow,
30-23.
So the over.
Yeah, I'm changing my mind. How about you, Blaine? I'm coming out of my cage. Give me that. If it gets to 53.5, then take the under. But I've got to give me Georgia 30-23. What do y'all got?
Give me God.
You won't.
So wrong. All right. Give me.
If Tennessee loses, you'll turn your hair back.
Yeah. Deal. Give me 27-24, Georgia.
Okay, because here's what I was going to say. 24-24 overtime. Georgia walk-off field goal.
David, if you're going to go to overtime, just pick Tennessee.
David, pull
wish that I was on. No, too much. Walk-off right. Field goal.
Well, let us know in the comments. Georgia-Tennessee. We're going to pin one. What is the score? Give us the exact score. Let us know who you think, why they're going to win. We appreciate you. Make sure you check out all the content. We got a full week 2 recap as well on the channel. So make sure you go check that out. We've got some other previews that are already out and are coming out. We've got a great plan this week for content with some big time guests. So make sure you're subscribed. If you're not, like the chances, me not being excited about a big game in Rocky Top. We're going, gone.